Can I just say two things, really? Many of you would have known Penny Singlehurst. Penny passed away. Her funeral is going to be on October the 14th. What time, we do not know yet, but it's going to be October the 14th. The other one, just want you to pray, really. A number of you will know Phil Lewis, Phil and Margaret. Phil is in hospital, and actually we're planning to go and see him straight after this service. Things aren't good for Phil. So you could pray for Phil and Margaret. That would be fantastic. Thank you. Christianity really isn't what many people think it is it? It's not about rules and rituals. At the end of the day, it's about a relationship. Relationship with the Lord Jesus, not this historical figure of history, but the person who's present. It's not so much about what we know about him, it is about, do we know him? For some, I don't know, here this morning, that may be a new concept, actually to know Jesus personally. For some others here this morning, it's not a crisis of faith we're going through, but life is just so busy. There's so many things we're up to. For some, it's school and work. For some, it's the everyday, the work pressures, the children, caring for elderly parents. Then there's all things to do around the house. Then on top of all that, many of you are serving in the church. You're busy on a Sunday morning. You're busy with Super Friday. You've got life group. You're seeing folks. Then on top of that, we've been doing this series on Luke's gospel. And Luke tells us we've got to suffer for him. We've got to go out and tell people about him. Then it says we've just got to show love indiscriminately to everybody. And it just seems like everything's coming upon us. And it seems like a round of rituals and responsibility. But Dr. Luke here has a remedy for us. Remember, Luke is writing this journey up of Jesus from birth to resurrection. And this episode of Martha and Mary isn't just the thing that happens next. We know in John's Gospel, Martha and Mary lived in Bethany, which is close to Jerusalem. So this, if this was just a part of the journey, the next episode along the route, this would come much later in our story. But Luke wants us to learn a very important lesson. So he jumps ahead to this occurrence in Luke chapter 10. Luke wants us to know, with all the suffering, that going out on mission to loving people, although it's hard, it's costly, and it's dangerous, Luke wants us to know the one thing that's most important. If you have a Bible, let's have a look at it. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it's not going to be taken away from her." While Martha has opened up her home, she welcomed the Lord Jesus in, but there's something not quite right with her and her relationship with the Lord Jesus. You have Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to him teach. Let's just stop there. You had a woman at the feet of a rabbi, listening to his teaching. That's really unusual. In Jewish culture, you never had a woman in that position. We just need to take notice here that Jesus also has special place for women too, doesn't he? Martha and Mary became important followers of his. They became some of his closest companions in all of this. And Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. But where is Martha? If you have a Bible, look at verse 40. What does it say? But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Distracted. That word sort of pulled away. Mary was listening to Jesus, making the most of the opportunity. But Martha was pulled away by all the things that had to be done. The meal had to be ready. That pull for her, culturally, was really, really strong. Hospitality in Jewish culture was really important. And if you had someone come to your house, you had to prepare not only a good meal, but more food than they ever want. There she is, whizzing around with Hoover. There she is, putting out the napkins on the table. Why is it that on the everyday in our house, we never have napkins? But when we have visitors, I've been told how to fold the napkin and where it goes on the place. Anybody else like it the same? And there she is, rushing around, doing all of this work, starting the preparations. What she was doing here wasn't bad. Literally, she was distracted by what does it say? By serving. She was doing much serving. She was doing the things that Jesus asked her to do. That little phrase here, she came to him. It has real force. It's like she burst in front of Jesus. Lord, don't you care? My sister left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. She just couldn't hold it back. She's going to let it out, and everyone's going to hear about this. Not only does she burst in, but she also accuses Jesus of not caring for her. Don't you care? I'm doing all the work, and she's sitting down. Before Jesus had an opportunity to answer her, she then tells Jesus what he is to do. Have you noticed that? She burst in, thinks he doesn't care, now tells him what to do. We can sympathize, actually, at times with Martha, don't we? Here she is serving. She's doing everything that Jesus has asked of her. You know what it's like when you're the last one left to do all the washing up on a Sunday morning. Everyone else goes. You know what it feels like when we ask for volunteers and you're the one that volunteers and everyone else seems to step back. You know what it's like when you're asked to bake a cake, when you're asked to meet up with the new Christians, when you step in to serve. What is everyone else doing? It's easy at that point, isn't it, to become really, really angry. And that anger spills over and accuses the Lord. Don't you know what's happening here, Lord? Don't you see how hard I'm working, how tired I am? Don't you care? Why don't you do something about all of this? We can sympathize with Martha, but there's something wrong here. The psalmist puts it this way: serve the Lord with gladness and with all your heart. Paul says serving the Lord meant dishonor, unrecognized, beaten up. But what does he say in 2 Corinthians 6? He was sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Sorrowful, but always rejoicing. When we think of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, our service should become a delight. When we think that he gave up heaven, went to the cross, took the punishment of God, rejected and despised. Lord, you love me that much. The little you're asking me to do means so little. You see, there's no joy in Martha's heart. There's something wrong. Can I just ask you, the next time you get a bit of angry, get a bit annoyed, a bit frustrated because other people are not stepping up, maybe before pointing the fingers at other people, you just need to pause and think for yourself, is there something wrong with me? But listen to these words of the Lord Jesus. Martha accuses Jesus, don't you care? Jesus' reply is what? You're going to need to do some work this morning. He uses a word and he repeats it twice. Martha, Martha. That expression is a real expression of love. Do you remember later on he will go and say, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. And he will go and he will weep over these places. Later on again, he will say, Simon, oh Simon, don't you know that I prayed for you? But here it's Martha, dear Martha. She thinks that Jesus doesn't care. She even thinks that he doesn't know what's happening. But he does know what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on in her heart. You are worried and upset by many things, Martha, oh Martha. You see, it's not just there's a meal to prepare. It's not just there are things to do, people to see, deadlines. What does it say here? You are worried and upset about many things. Jesus isn't dismissing her anxiety. He recognizes that she's upset. Jesus loves her. He knows her. But he also knows the one thing that's missing for her. You're angry and you're worried and you're upset. What's the one thing that's missing here? Mary, Martha, she hasn't bunked off. She's chosen the one thing that matters above all else. Mary has chosen to sit at my feet and take the opportunity, this amazing opportunity, to listen to me. Martha, what's wrong with your relationship with me? That you're so busy that you're being dragged away into other things. She's not listening. She's serving, but she's not listening. Why is that so serious? Why is it so serious that she's serving, as Jesus tells her to do, but she's not listening? Do you remember before you became a Christian? You were Lord of your own life, weren't you? You made your own decisions. You decided what you were going to do. It was you in control. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus into our lives, we make him Lord and we make him Savior. Is that right? Those two words are quite important. We make him Savior, that he's taken the punishment for us. We have new life, a new beginning. But we also make him Lord. The one who's in control. And if we serve without listening to him, it's just like saying, we're going to go back to what life was like before we ever become a Christian. I listen to myself and I don't listen to God. I'm living by what I want rather than listening to who you are. It's like a sign of setting out a declaration of independence. when we serve God but don't listen to him. She's not doing the one thing that God wants her to do more than anything else. A bit like you and me, sometimes we live as if we're atheists. We never take time to listen to him. If you notice, when we take things in our own hands, life throws all sorts of stuff at us, doesn't it? And it builds up. Life is going fine, then all of a sudden work goes awful. Life is fine, then all of a sudden we're taking a heavy weight because there's illness, either in our own life or our family life around us. Things are falling apart, and it doesn't take very long before we can't hold it any longer, and we drop it. Remember Jesus' words in John 15? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Martha, your problem isn't that you're serving, that's not the problem, or that you're busy, that's not the problem. The problem, Martha, is you're not listening. You're doing these things without listening to me. You see, listening to the Lord Jesus is so, so important for all of us. Now, those of you who've got a Bible, you're going to need to use it this morning. You ready? Because in a minute, I'm going to mention some verses, and I'm going to invite one or two of you. I'm not going to pick on anybody. I just expect you to shout out and to do the reading for me. Is that okay? Because let's have a look what Dr. Luke, in his medication here, says about listening to Jesus' voice. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 48. It's like going back to Sunday school, isn't it, and sword drill. Luke 6, 47 to 48. So anybody got it?
As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built.
So the person who listens to the voice of Jesus is digging down and building their life upon some real rock. It isn't about rushing around, doing things for God to get him to accept us. It's digging into him and listening to him that forms the foundation. What about Luke chapter 8, verse 15? What's the prescription from Dr. Luke? 8:15. Someone different? So those who hear the word of God will bear much fruit. I can't do it. I can't change it. But Jesus can. He who listens and hears my voice produces a good crop. What about Luke chapter 8 and verse 21? Oh, here's real family here. The real family are those who listen to God's word and puts it into practice. What about what Dr. Luke says in Luke 11:28? What's his remedy here?
He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Wow, blessed are the people who listen to it, who hear what he says, listen to his voice. And what's the final prescription from Dr. Luke, chapter 10 and verse 42?
But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it would not be taken away from her.
What's the one thing? What's the one thing that's really required here is listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus. Why do we listen to him? because he speaks the word of truth. That's why the Bible becomes so important to us. Because every page, as you open up the Bible, if you really look at it, every page reveals the Lord Jesus to us. As we open up the Bible, it talks about it's being like the sword of the Spirit. It digs and it cuts, and sometimes there are things as we dig into it, it does hurt. But this isn't a history book. It isn't a textbook that we just need to get more and more knowledge. It tells us, and it speaks to us, and it changes us today. It has things to say to us for today. When we open up the Bible, God shows himself to us. When we open up and listen to God's word, it changes us. One 16th century theologian put it this way: the Bible would give Christ to you in an intimacy so close that he would be less visible to you if he stood before you and you saw him with your own eyes. You see, Christianity, our faith, is about a relationship, not about knowledge. I've got a family to look after. I'm too busy. I can't do this. I haven't got time to pick up the Bible. There's a problem here. There's an independency problem here. It's like saying to God, I don't need you. I can do it myself. You and I have a choice. We can choose to be those of faith who listen to him, or we can choose to live as an atheist. God, I don't need you. I don't need to listen to you. I wonder where your life is this morning. When have you last listened to God, allowed him to speak into your life? I wonder how God's changed you, because without you knowing it, by you listening to him, he's changed you. He's changed the way you think. He's changed your attitude. He may have even changed some of the things you actually do. And it's only by looking back you see the difference that he's made. Martha, Martha, dear Martha, those loving words, and maybe saying your name this morning. I love you. I do understand. I can see. But you're being pulled away, you're being distracted by many things. That's so easy for each one of us this morning. And maybe this morning God wants to say, come back into a relationship with me again. Listen to my voice. Listen and join me. Can I invite you just to close your eyes this morning? I know it's not a crisis of faith for you, but life is just so busy. And maybe there's things that have been pulling you, distracting you away from him. I think the amazing thing with the Lord Jesus, he gives us a fresh start every single day. And maybe the beginning of this week, you'd just need to stop again and say, Lord Jesus, there are just many things at the moment that are distracting me. However you want to say that to him in your own words, just do that now. Lord Jesus, we recognize that life becomes hard to handle and to hold. Father, even serving you at times just becomes so busy that we don't have time to listen. Lord, we want to say sorry. Sorry when we've done that and we've done it in our own strength without recognizing what you've been saying. Lord Jesus, we long for our relationship with you to be deeper. We want to know you more intimately as you know us. So, Father God, we pray this morning, with the help and the powering of your Holy Spirit, that you'll help us to get back into a right relationship with you again. That this coming week, Lord, we will stop and we will listen to your voice. We'll open up Scripture, we'll allow it to speak into our lives. Because, Lord, we know when we don't, we struggle. We become angry. We become frustrated. We even become angry with you. So, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come work in us. We ask in his name we pray. Amen. I like the Lord Jesus in this story. He doesn't belittle her, does he? He doesn't say, oh, stop fussing, woman. It's okay. Not at all. He says, I understand. But just stop and listen to what I'm saying. I really do pray that this coming week you'll have that experience of stopping, opening up Scripture, and hearing what God has to say to you.